Faith, open love. I read to you from a particular version. That was actually the contemporary English version that I read to you from this morning. And right at the end, in the Amplified Bible, it says, and so faith, hope, and love abide. And then the Amplified Bible is an interesting one to read because it puts brackets around things. And sometimes the brackets can sort of almost make it hard to pick up the flow, but the brackets really explain what it actually means by some of those words. And it gives faith, hope, and love, and it explains in the brackets what those things are. And it says faith, conviction and belief respecting man's relation to God and divine things. So it's an explanation it gives of faith. Conviction and belief. Do you feel like you have conviction here this morning? Do you feel like you have belief? Do you feel like that conviction and that belief is actually connected to God? Hope. Joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. How are we going there? Is that feedback? Can you hear that out there? Or am I just hearing it on stage? It's good. We can fix it here. We'll stop me getting distracted. I used to be a sound guy, so some things don't go away. Hope. Joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. Wow. Love. Just talked about love. True affection for God and man growing out of God's love for us. It's amazing the way it puts it. It's these three core attributes that really are the defining hallmarks of a Christian. If you ask me to explain what a Christian is, and if you go out in society, you will get all sorts of explanations of what a Christian is. And people will say, oh, someone that does good, someone that feeds the poor, someone that is just nice. And I haven't probably done that well at that in my life, just being nice. But people have all sorts of ideas about what a Christian is. And if you could say, well, what are the defining hallmarks of a Christian? It is these three things: faith, hope, and love. In other words, we're people that live by faith. We walk by faith. Our very existence is a faith existence. In other words, when you step into the realm of being a Christian, when you choose to accept that Jesus Christ has died for your sins, when you say, hey, I want you in my life, Jesus, you become a person who lives by faith. That is a defining characteristic of your walk. Hope. In other words, hope. You've got something that cannot be taken away from you. You know that your eternity, you know that is safe and secure. You know that cannot be snatched from you by any means possible. That is there. That is a given. And that makes such a difference to the way that we live. If you live in a secure hope, it's just so phenomenal.
Yeah.
As opposed to not knowing what is going to happen. You know that so much of the world live in a place of not knowing, a place of uncertainty, a place of not knowing what's around the corner, of not knowing what's next. People watch the news at night and they think, what's going to happen with the markets? What's going to happen with our economy? What's going to happen with global warming? What's going to happen if Korea get all excited and fire off a nuclear weapon somewhere? And people live in the uncertainty of that. I can't give you the answers to those things. I honestly don't know exactly what's going to happen with global warming. I don't know exactly. That's still going too. Yeah, just roll the bottom end off a bit. Yeah. Yeah. You're doing all right. I can't tell you what's going to happen with global warming. I cannot tell you what's going to happen with nuclear weapons. I can't tell you what's going to happen with the world economy. But I have a hope that God will be with me. I have a hope that God will never let me go. I have a hope that I cannot be plucked out of His hand. I have a hope that my future is safe and secure no matter what. And did you know, really, those things, yes, while they're concerns, they don't particularly worry me that much. Because I know that God has got my future safe and secure no You know what I do worry about? What I worry about more than global warming. What I worry about more than nuclear weapons. What I worry about more than the global economy. I worry about those that don't have the same hope that I have. I worry about those that haven't stepped into the realm of God to understand that they can have a hope that can never, never be snatched away from them.
Come on, Craig.
I mean, I think sometimes as kingdom people, we've got to get a little bit of perspective. We can worry about all the wrong things. We've actually got to come back and make the main thing the main thing. What's the main thing for us as Christians? It's to live and show faith, hope and love. And how do we do that? What did Jesus ask us to do? The last words before he went back to heaven, he said, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. All, meaning all. All means all people. All means everybody in the city of Hobart. That means that nobody in this city should live without hearing what Jesus can do for them. All means everybody. Hope is our connection to God. And our series at the moment has been about connection. And we desire to see people truly connect to God and people through Jesus Christ. Hope is our connection. I love the way the Message Bible puts it. It says, we who have run for our very lives to God have every reason to grab hold of the promised hope with both hands and never let it go.
Yeah.
We have every reason to. We have every reason to grab hold of that promised hope with both hands and never let it go. And I believe that that's a word for somebody here this morning. Where you've been sort of struggling almost with feeling unloved. You've been feeling disconnected. You've been feeling like it's not there for you. I want to say to you, grab that promised hope with both hands and not let it go. Don't let it go. Don't let it go. Don't let it go. I remember Alex sharing with me a feeling that she had while she was struggling with some sickness in her life. And it felt like so much of what she knew, so much of what had been there, felt like it was so far away. It felt like it was almost like a red in Faith, Hope and Love. It felt like it was a pale reflection of what she'd understood in previous times in her life. But it was like that small glimmer of what she knew was true. That small glimmer of what she knew God had done in her life. She was able to grab hold of what was there with both hands. And that actually became a very lifeline. That became what was the very thing that connected her and brought her back into the presence of God. See, that's what hope does. Hope actually takes you from here and connects you into the very presence of God. Hope is your lifeline. Hope is what will connect you. If you decide that you're going to live without hope, you're actually throwing away that connection and that lifeline to God, and you're doing it on your own. It's like being in some sort of boat out in a big ocean. And imagine that. If you were out in a real rough sea, imagine being sort of out somewhere in the middle of the Pacific Ocean where you're a long, long way from land. Anyone been on a cruise or something like that? And if you stood on the side of the boat when you know you're a long way from land and you thought, what if I jumped off? What if I fell over? What would happen? And you know that you wouldn't make it unless somebody was able to come back and rescue you. Because you would be just so alone, you'd be so disconnected from anything that could be your life supply. However, if you had a rope around you, if you had one of those life buoys around you that actually, and that there was a rope from there to the ship that was your lifeline and supply, your level of hope would just rise so significantly. Imagine that. Imagine if you're floating out in the ocean and you're starting to think that there's no way I'm not going to survive. You're starting to think about when the sharks are going to come. You're starting to think about how long I can keep this up for. And all of a sudden, hope appears in the form of a rescue boat, in the form of a helicopter, in the form of something. And when that lifeline is actually thrown out to you, when that life buoy is thrown out to you, that orange life preserver, when that is thrown to you and you grab hold of that, just the feeling that you would have, that level of hope would rise amazingly. Remember Tony Bullimore? And he spent something like, I can't remember what it was, he spent about 7 or 8 days upside down in a yacht in the Southern Ocean. this yacht that was bobbing around in freezing waters. And what did he do? What was his hope? His hope was that he was going to stay connected to that yacht. That yacht was his lifeline. That yacht actually had some sort of connection to the outside world. I can't remember the full story now, but I guess it had an EPIRB or something that helped them find exactly where it was. That was the connection to those that could bring that guy alive. Imagine the feeling that he had, though. He was connected to that yacht. And when the Australian Navy finally got there, you know, they started to knock on the outside of that hull. Imagine the feeling he had, the hope that would have risen inside him. And he didn't wait. We know what he did. He dived outside and he swam up and suddenly he was there. He was standing on the top of that pole with the other guys and the Navy brought him back. They rescued him. You see, that's what hope does for you in this world. You might be feeling like Tony Bullimore. You might be feeling like somebody that's so far away and disconnected. But I want to say, if you will grab hold of that hope that I'm talking about this morning with both hands, That is your lifeline. You need to hold on to that so securely. Hope is the connection to the object of our faith. Hope is what connects us to Jesus Christ. Hope is the full confidence and assurance in Christ that leads us to a greater faith and a deeper love. Hope is being connected to Jesus. Hope is not wishful thinking. Hope is your unbreakable spiritual lifeline. So last week we talked about what hope is, and that's some of the points from last week. If you want to hear more about them, why don't you grab the message off the CD or download it off the website and you can hear that in more detail. But this morning I want to talk about the importance of hope in our life. I want to talk about how we actually have that hope. You see, we are dealers of hope. See, that's another thing that's a hallmark of a Christian, that you're a dealer of hope. You see, negativity is a robber of hope. Negativity actually almost wheels in the things that take away hope. You see, as kingdom people, as Christians, we're not meant to be negative people. I'm not saying that you need to be someone that lives in denial. I'm not saying that you won't feel negativity in your life. But I'm saying that we're not supposed to be dealers of negativity. We actually have hope, so we're supposed to be dealers of hope. Yes. To grab that promised hope with both hands and become an effective dealer of hope. How do we do that? You see, you probably know it. You've heard me talking this stuff now. And you know that hope is your lifeline into the very presence, in the very, very, very connection to God. You know that. But how do you make that a real reality in your everyday life? How do you make that the way that you live? How do you become that person who becomes a dealer of hope? How do you become the person that when you walk into your workplace, that when you walk into your office, when you walk into your smoko room, that negativity almost dries up and hope actually rises? Do you believe that that can happen? Do you believe that kingdom people can have that effect in their workplace? Because I believe that we can. And I believe that if we're going to see Hobart set free for Jesus Christ, we need to be dealers of hope. And we need to have that rise up and happen wherever we are, in our schools, our universities, our workplace, and dare I say, our churches.
Right.
Did you know that what frustrates me about churches is that we have Jesus Christ. We are full of hope, and sometimes we get so full of negativity. We get so full of rubbishy thinking. And did you know that it's the biggest attack of the enemy? And I am so sick and tired of it that I, like, if there was some way that I could just swish it over and get rid of it, gee, I would. And I don't want you guys going down that line, because you are bigger than that. You are much, much bigger than that. You are full of hope. So how do we do it? How do we grab that promised hope with both hands? How do we become dealers of hope? The first one is, wait for the revelation. Surrender to Jesus Christ. Surrender to Jesus Christ. It's absolutely as simple as that. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, Anna talked about it, I want to challenge you, be bold this morning. I'm going to surrender to Jesus. I'm going to surrender my whole self to him this morning. Do you know, you do that, you will start to become a dealer of hope. You'll start to become a person that's able to grab that promised hope with both hands. Acts 4:12 says this, only Jesus has the power to save. So I'm not going to muck around with you this morning. The only way that you can be saved for eternity is through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. No other way. Buddhism can't do it. Hinduism can't do it. Or any other religion cannot do it. And if you want to find out if something is a cult or not, you ask them, is Jesus Christ the Son of God? Is he the only way to God? And you'll find that there's a lot of religions around. There are a lot of almost sort of even faith movements around that will actually say, hey, yeah, we believe the same things as you. Yeah, it's all cool. I mean, I remember when I was a youth leader in Devonport, we had a girl in our church and she was rolling, going along all right. She was starting to grow in her faith, and another sort of group came along and they said, hey, you come to our church. We believe all the same things as you. Yeah, 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 it's all cool. And they started to blind her thinking. They confused her thinking. But the reality is they weren't able to say that Jesus Christ is the only Son of God and there is no other way to him but through Jesus Christ. If somebody comes to you and wants to confuse you, you ask them those questions. Because he is the only way. There is no other name on heaven and earth by which men can be saved. There's another version of that. Matthew 12:21 says, and his name will be the hope of the world. We associate thoughts and ideas and images with names, don't we? I did a bit of a look up on the 10, or actually I saw that 100, I only looked at the first 10, but the 100 most recognisable brands in the world, things that we would recognise very, very quickly, and all of these things I've got here are in the top 10. And number one, the world's most recognisable brand. You know what it is, don't you? Coca-Cola. What do you think of when I say Coca-Cola? You think of black soft drink, don't you? You suddenly know what it is. You've all got an opinion about what Coca-Cola is. You understand it. You think about that straight away. McDonald's. You think of hamburgers and heartburn and things like that. Believe it or not, another one, Microsoft. What do you think of? Crashes and windows. Mercedes-Benz. Quality automobiles. Nokia. Mobile phones. Disney. Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck. You see, there is a name and you associate things with a name. And that is the power of a brand. That is the power of Coca-Cola, because Coca-Cola have so effectively marketed themselves through worldwide that there's hardly a person on the earth, no whether they've got money or not, that hasn't heard of Coca-Cola. I've been to some of the poorest places in the world, and you don't have to go very far and you will see Coca-Cola. It'll be there. It doesn't matter. And they have. One of their mission statements was to put a Coke in the hand of every man or something like that was the way that they put it. That's what they wanted to do. And so everybody understands Coca-Cola. It's been so effective that I remember I used to think that the only way to get my thirst quenched was through Coca-Cola. Nothing else would work. And I think, you know, you get so addicted to the thought and the sugar and everything else that's in it, and you start thinking, oh, gee, I'm thirsty. And water won't do, nothing else will do, I need a Coca-Cola. And then it's a very, very effective marketing campaign. And we associate those things. The name of Jesus, what do you think of when you hear the name of Jesus? The name of Jesus is hope. The name of Jesus is powerful enough to bring hope into any situation. The name of Jesus will bring hope right in to wherever it's needed. The name of Jesus is hope. We have hope in Jesus. Outside of him, there is no unshakable, unchangeable hope. On the name of Jesus, we can place our hope, and we won't be disappointed. Isaiah 49:23 says, then you will know that I am the Lord. Those who hope in me will not be disappointed.
Yeah.
I want to say, if you want to try something out this morning, if you place your hope in Jesus Christ, and you choose to really do that, the Bible's really clear. I believe it with all my heart, and I'll stand here and preach it with conviction. You will not be disappointed.
Yeah.
If we hope in Jesus Christ, we will not be disappointed. To grab hold of the promised hope with both hands and become a hope dealer, number two, speak words of hope. Speak words of hope. I wrote a word down. after I got my pen to go, as we were singing, next to that point, the word is confession. I want to challenge you. I think there are some of you here this morning, and you know you should be speaking words of hope. But what's been coming out lately, what's been spoken over your family, it's been spoken out in your workplace, it's been spoken out in your church, it's been spoken out in your community, it's not actually words of hope. They're words of other things. They're words of non-belief. They're words of negativity. They're words of disappointment. Would you be bold enough this morning to confess? Would you be bold enough? I'm not going to make people stand up. But I want you to think about that. I want you to say, would I be bold enough to confess to my God this morning that I haven't been speaking words of hope? I've been speaking words of hope. Because words are extremely powerful.
Yeah.
Proverbs 18:21-22 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. See, you can actually speak a word to somebody, a word in the right season, in the right place, that you can almost see the life disappear out of somebody's spirit with that word. You can actually so pull them down with the right word that goes to the very heart of things that almost, they might be alive, but somehow they feel like they've gone dead. They feel like they've died inside. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Isaiah 50 verse 4 said, the Lord gives me the right words to encourage the weary. In his name, nations will put their hope.
Yeah.
Listen to what the word of God says. It says, let your hope make you glad. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. So don't lose hope. I, the Lord, have spoken. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And hope does not disappoint. Listen to this. Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Be joyful in hope. Those are some of the words that we need to be speaking. That's some of the words of hope that we need to actually start to speak out. And your situation this morning might feel like it's got a lack of hope. I want you to start to speak some of those words over. I want you to start to speak some of those things out. Romans 15:3-5 and says, and the scriptures were written to teach and encourage us by giving hope. So let's use those things. The third thing is to persevere. Romans 5:3-5 says, but that's not all. We gladly suffer because we know that this suffering helps us endure, and endurance builds character, which gives us hope that we'll never be disappointed. See, there are benefits in persevering. See, perseverance through suffering. Isn't that amazing? We don't like to think about that much. We think, oh, suffering should just go. It should not be part of our world. It should just disappear like that. But there's benefits in suffering. Suffering will help you persevere. Perseverance will help you endure. Endurance builds character that connects you to the hope that cannot be disappointed. To grab hold of the promised hope with both hands, become a hope dealer. Believe this hope will not disappoint you.
Yeah.
Not just hear it, not just read it, believe it. The band want to join me. Believe it. Believe it with everything that you've got. Believe that it is true. Believe that that hope will not disappoint you. Because it's not a lucky dip. God's not. When God looks at people, when you come into the kingdom of God, he doesn't sort of say, oh yeah, I'm going to bless that one and I'm going to disappoint that one. He says that I'm going to give you a hope that will not disappoint you. You will not be disappointed. Now we've got to believe it that way. If you're thinking about God this morning, thinking about Jesus, you're wondering how he fits in your life. He absolutely loves you. And he wants you to have a hope that will never, never, never be disappointed. As I finish here this morning, let me give you some other thoughts. People give up, and instead of living in hope, they begin to be overtaken by hopelessness. Because they're scared of failure, and they don't want to feel disappointed. There's a quote by a guy called Samuel Jackson. He says, "I know not anything more pleasant or more instructive than to compare the experience with expectation, or to register from time to time the difference between the idea and the reality. It is by this kind of observation that we grow less and less liable to be disappointed." Now, there's definitely some wisdom in that. Some wisdom in not allowing expectations that are totally unrealistic that will cause disappointment to build in your life. But what I think is more important than that is don't let your experience rob you of hope. Failure is part of life. And I was thinking about this last night. We went for a bushwalk yesterday. It's pretty wild out there. And I got home and I was lying in the spa and I'm reading a book. Gosh, don't picture that community.
It's too late.
It's too late. Your hope will not be disappointed.
Gives us assurance about the things that we must do.
Hope is not wishful thinking. Hope is your unbreakable spiritual life. Love, perfect love, what's it do? It expels all fear. In other words, when you understand and experience the perfect love of Jesus Christ, it actually expels, pushes out, purges fear, it's gone. Hebrews 12 says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses to life and faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run the race with endurance, the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith, hope,